All right, welcome back, everybody. Brand new topic, and we're really going back to the very beginning here in Shmir Shabbos Kilchos. Not only in Shmir Shabbos Kilchos, I think in most Sfarim on Hilchos
Shabbos. Starting Bashir Samna.
Begin with Hilchos Bishol. It's a good place to start. I think I may have said this before with respect to maybe some other. Malachos, so I have to make sure that I don't repeat this too frequently, otherwise it sort of loses its meaning. But I believe that Bishol probably comes up more frequently than any of the other Malachos of Shabbos, maybe the exception being Borer. But I would say that certainly, at least within the kitchen, this is something that no matter what you do, you're going to encounter Bishol on Shabbos in some capacity or another when it comes to ensuring that we have hot food Friday night, which will mean heating it up and maintaining it on a flame from before Shabbos, or of course, reheating foods on Shabbos. So it's a large section. There's a lot of detail. Indeed, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa provides really just a backdrop of some of the most important terms, some of the basic terminology that we're going to need to have in order to make a go at this. And that's where we're going to begin. I think hopefully we'll move past at least that initial phase even this evening. But we have something of a long road ahead of us. But again, I think very, very practical for the kinds of things that go on in all of our kitchens. So very much worth our while. As always, please feel free. Don't hesitate. Feel free to interrupt. Feel free to ask questions. I think I've muted everybody, but feel free to take yourself off mute if you have anything, any questions in real time as they come up. So let's get cracking. Let's get started here. Perek Aleph, Dinei Bishol Bishabbos. First of all, Gidrei Bishol. Let's talk about the basic parameters of what is considered Bishol. With respect to Shabbos, let's get down some of those most basic definitions. First and foremost, Echad HaMevashel says the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, the Echad Atzola V'Hametagin V'Ha'ofe. Doesn't matter what you call it. Bishol comes in many forms and it is known by many names. Truthfully and classically, Bishol refers to cooking with a liquid medium like boiling, and that's really how it can really be used in two different contexts, largely and broadly. When we speak about Bishol on Shabbos, it means all these things, mevashel, tzola, mitaken, ofe, whether we're talking about cooking with a liquid medium, meaning boiling or roasting or frying, deep frying, pan frying, sauteing, ofe, baking, whatever it is, whatever we might call it, what do these all have in common? You're using heat to fundamentally change a food. We'll speak about the difference and differences between changing a food that can or cannot be changed back. Fundamental difference there between liquids and solids. Liquids could potentially revert back to their original state. Solids, once cooked, really can't. Now you've created a substantial enough change that they're really changed forever and ever. That's going to be important later. But meanwhile, just as far as defining what we're dealing with, we're talking about using heat in order to change food. Anytime that you're using heat in any one of these fashions to prepare a food for consumption, by means of the warmth of a fire, or any of the subsidiaries of fire. So meaning not even necessarily fire itself, could be fire, could be something else that was heated up in fire. It could be some other form of heat even, potentially. Certain forms of heat actually are not included as real esh. For our purposes, we're going to assume that all of our kitchen appliances utilize some form of what halacha actually considers to be actual fire. So whether you're using fire or a tolda of fire, a product of fire, meaning something else that was heated up, and now you're using that something else to then heat up something else. And we'll get into that. This is the issue of kli rishon, kli sheni, kli shlishi, all of those subsidiaries, all of those things that once touched fire or once touched something that touched fire, and that's why they are still warm. But even using those things as a means of cooking other foods is also problematic, at least potentially. Harizeh over al iser bishol. So in any which way that you use one of these items, either fire itself or something that fire heated up to then cook another item, prepare it for consumption, That is a problem of Bishul. That's the malacha of Bishul on Shabbos. Again, comes in many different forms and is known by many, many different names. But whether you're frying, you're sauteing, you're baking, you're stewing, you're braising, whatever it is that you're doing, that is all. It's all going to come under the rubric of Bishul with respect to the malacha of Shabbos. Shir hachum. How much are we talking about? Shir hachum. How much heat are we talking about? Le'inyun iser Bishul hu. B'derech klal, generally speaking, hachom shahayad soledes bo. So what is Yad Soledes? But Yad Soledes literally means, and we throw it around a lot, Yad Soledes literally means the hand recoils. Something that you touch and you immediately pull your hand back. So what exactly does that mean? What kind of temperature are we talking about? Dehainu lo pachos me'arba'im v'chamesh ma'alos Celsius. So that is no less than 45 degrees Celsius. 45 degrees Celsius is, or the actual safer, I think 113. Is what Rosh Shlomo Salomon holds, 113 degrees Fahrenheit, I believe, 113 degrees Fahrenheit. So 113 degrees Fahrenheit is actually, it's not all that hot. Not all that hot. When we think about really scalding hot water and you immediately you pull your hand back and it's so uncomfortable and, you know, first degree burn or whatever, I don't know that we're really thinking about things that are 113 degrees. Certainly 113 degrees or lower, according to Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, you are in the clear. Some interesting proofs that Rav Neuvert speaks about on the bottom, speaks about a conversation where we arrive at least at perhaps 40 degrees Celsius based on the temperature of milk when it comes out of a cow. We know that milk, when it comes out of a cow, while a cow is being milked, that's considered to be tzonein. Halachically speaking, that's considered to be cold. It would be a terrible, terrible inherent issue of basar b'chol of every time you milked a cow. If when the milk came out of the cow, it was already considered to be hot. If it's hot, that means that there are potential blios and there could be absorbed taste immediately into the actual flesh of the cow. That'd be very, very problematic potentially. So we know and we hold that l'halacha, when the milk comes out, that is certainly still considered to be cold. Rav Shlomo Zalman brings a further proof. This actually, Rav Neuvert brings a further proof that it's even higher. Rav Shlomo Zalman felt that even up to 45 degrees was still safe territory. And he brings proof from the fact that blood, when it exits the beis hablia, the throat of a duck or of other kinds of fowl that are being shechted, also that the dam is considered to be tzonein. It's not considered to be cham. It's not considered to be hot. It's considered to be cold. And that can reach even a temperature of 45 degrees Celsius, again, 113 degrees Fahrenheit. Not that hot. I don't have a great sense exactly of what that is, but I would think that when we're serving a bowl of soup, we're probably looking for considerably hotter than that. Bear in mind that water boils at 212 degrees Celsius. So even if you are serving soup that's significantly cooler than whatever it was when it reached the boiling point, nevertheless, it's probably hotter. So we need to assume that anytime we're eating whatever we consider hot food or we're drinking anything that we consider to be hot liquid, that is already at the point of potentially being Yad Soledes Bo. So we have a potential issue on our hands, either if we're bringing something up to that heat or if, let's say, we're dropping something uncooked. More on this when we speak about the various kalim and the different orbits as we move out further and further away from the original source of fire, but potentially dropping something into a bowl of soup, into a mug of tea, into a cup of hot water, that could also potentially be problematic. We're taking a look at the footnote here, not the real numbered footnotes at the bottom, but just the second asterisk here. So in the actual Sefer, he noted that when we speak about Bishul, we're talking about preparing things for consumption. Not necessarily the case. I don't know that this comes up nearly as frequently as when we're dealing with food preparation, but nevertheless, it's worth mentioning. Gam bedvarim she'enam ochlin, even things that are not actual foods, yesh mishum iser bishul, still fall under the rubric of the prohibition of bishul. V'lachein, aser lahamis mateches. Therefore, all of you crazy smelters out there, no melting down metal on Shabbos. Shava or wax, v'chadoma. So it's just worth thinking about. It's worth knowing about that bringing a candle, bringing, let's say, a second candle to a flame, aside from the issue of Mavir, It's not just a matter of igniting a new flame. Even bringing, let's say, a candle closer to a flame on Shabbos so that the wax melts, that is considered in of itself to be an act of bishul, even if there's no new fire. Even if you haven't actually lit a second fire, that would still in of itself be an act of bishul. Also, l'chamema samatechas sheyichol l'hagia lidei libon. You can't heat up a piece of metal to the point that it gets white hot. This is potentially an issue, even beyond the possibility of havara, again, of actually creating fire or of utilizing fire. Potentially, at least in old school light bulbs, this was a problem. When you're heating a very, very fine and very stretched thin piece of tungsten, a tungsten filament, to the point that it's white hot and gives off a lot of light, that potentially is bishul. Aside from everything else, aside from whatever other problems there may or may not be when it comes to electricity, utilizing electrical appliances, the act of heating up a filament so that it becomes white hot, burns white hot, which is exactly what takes place in a regular incandescent light bulb, that is an act of bishul, certainly according to the Rambam and others, even apart from all other issues. Also something to bear in mind, especially as like today, it's so wet out. There's been a pile of wet clothing at the entryway to our house for the past 2 days. It like keeps getting cycled through actual bodies, but invariably it ends up back by the door. What happens if you have such things on Shabbos? We should be mindful that if we have clothing, if we have coats, if we have dish towels and whatever that might have liquid absorbed into them. So putting them in a place where those liquid droplets are going to heat and even heat to a point of potentially even yatza lettuce, let's say left on a radiator or something like that. That's a problem of actual bishul on Shabbos. So again, for the most part, where does this come up? For the most part, it comes up with respect to cooking. Nevertheless, we should be aware, for no other reason than just a greater understanding of the actual halacha and the actual malacha of Shabbos, that this does apply to other forms as well, and not only exclusively to food. All right. Having said that, let's deal with the actual forms of bishul that we might be dealing with, specifically as pertains to the various, those orbits as we move out further and further away from the original source of heat, what potentially we might be dealing with. Let's give each one its own label so that we know what we're talking about. We'll have to come back to these terms all throughout our conversation about bishul. So, le'inyan iser bishul b'shabbos, Yeshlav deal ben kalim shonim upuolos shonos. We'll have to differentiate between different types of kalim. Now, when we say different types of kalim, we don't really mean here different instruments. We're not talking about different instruments, different kitchen gadgets, different materials, mugs versus cups versus measuring cups, those sorts of things. We're talking about, and as we probably know, you may well be familiar with, that the terminology that we use labels each one of the subsequent orbits moving further and further away from the original source of heat as another kli. So it's not only that we speak about the fire itself, but whatever was actually cooked in that first pot that was on the fire becomes one kli. As you move out another orbit and that food gets transferred into now another vessel, that is a second kli, and a third, and so on and so forth. Let's give names to all of them. Let's give their appropriate titles to them. First and foremost, Aleph, Kli Rishon. So what's a Kli Rishon? Kli Rishon is Nikra Kli HaKli Shabonis Bashal Atavshil Ohamayim. So that is the food in which the food or the water was originally cooked. Vafilu Eino Omed Od Al Gabeh Ha'ish. Even if the food is no longer being cooked presently, meaning it's no longer actually on the fire, the source of heat itself. So it's after you remove the insert off the insert out of the, I never know which is the crock and which is the, if the crock is like the thing or the crock is the insert, whatever. The thing that you take out of the crock pot, that liner, that insert that you take out of the crock pot, that's still a Kli Rishon, despite the fact that it's no longer al ha'esh, no longer on the fire when the food is actually being dished out of it. Still considered to be a Kli Rishon. Obviously a worm, an urn, a hot water urn, obviously is always sitting upon the actual metal coil, the electric coil underneath. Obviously anything that's on top of a blech or a stovetop all considered to be a kli rishon, even as those things are removed from the heat. So if, let's say, there's a big pot of chicken soup sitting on the stove from before Shabbos, whether on the blech or directly on the burner, sitting there from before Shabbos, even as that pot has, let's say, been moved off of the burner to be able to serve it, you don't want to do it right over the actual flame, nevertheless, still considered to be a kli rishon. If it's still presently on the fire, yesh lahachmir bo, then you should be machbir kikli rishon, consider it to be a kli rishon, gam im ein hayad soledes bo. Hard to imagine how low that flame would need to be, but nevertheless, even if the flame is so low, or even if the pot is so large that, let's say, it never really was adequately heated completely or fully in the first place, if it's presently on the fire, we should always treat it as a kli rishon, even if it's not yad soledes bo. So that's a major chumrah. Major chumrah. I mean, you could be dealing with a completely tepid pot of chicken soup because it was so large that it never fully heated up. I took it out of the fridge too late on every Shabbos. I forgot to put it on the burner. I only had a short while before Shabbos rolled in, and now we're ready to eat. And it's not even warm yet. You're talking about an 80 degree pot of chicken soup, which maybe is hardly even worth serving in the first place. But nevertheless, we should consider that pot to be a kli rishon so long as it is on the fire. One of the basic considerations here is that since it's on the fire, if you put something inside of it, we need to concern ourselves with the very distinct possibility that you're going to leave it there long enough for it to become hot. So that if it's not a kli rishon right now, we have to suspect, we have to anticipate that it'll effectively become a kli rishon, and therefore we have to be concerned even now, even while it's still only lukewarm. What does that mean? What can you put inside of it? What can you not put inside of it? What are we dealing with when we're talking about a kli rishon? What are the parameters of bishul that apply to a kli rishon? So we'll have to deal with all of this right now. First and foremost, just the terminology to know kli rishon means whatever vessel, whatever pot that food was initially cooked in, even though that pot is no longer sitting on the esh presently. Number one. Number two, even before we get to the second kli, there is the issue of irui kli rishon, pouring the water, the liquid, as it is being poured, as it stands mid-air, as it's being poured from kli one to kli two, from kli rishon to kli sheni, it's now called irui kli rishon. That has its own halachic status, water that's being poured out of the kli rishon. Meaning the pouring out of the water, of the cooked food, of the soup, from the original pot, al kol machal o mashka, onto anything else, into any other food, onto any other drink, that is irui kli rishon, stage number two. Stage number three is once it actually finally lands, that's gimel, kli sheni nikra hakli shalasoko hu avar hatav shal ha-mayim ha-kli ha-rishon, that's the second kli that the food is actually passed into, that's stage number three. Stage number four, again, just the repeats the cycle. Irui kli sheni, so that is the food being poured out of the kli sheni. Now, who irui atav sholamayim meha kli hasheni. Finally, where does it land? And we're going to stop here is, hey, kli shlishi. Once it lands in the kli shlishi, that's basically the end of the line. There's really no distinction, according to the poskim, between a shlishi and a chamishi and a shvi'i or anything like that. Once it is kli shlishi, that's it. It's stuck. So there will be a difference between, let's say, food that is in a kli shlishi and hot, and food that's no longer hot. If it's no longer hot, it's really no longer capable of bishul, for sure. Sure, there are distinctions there. It can yet become, achieve a status that's even more makil than a kli shlishi. But assuming it continues to be hot, if you're talking about food that's hot, that is water that is, let's say, 120 degrees, whether it's in a kli shlishi, revi'i, chamishi, shishi, shvi'i, etc., makes no difference. That's all the same halachic status. What does that halachic status mean? That's what we're going to start to discuss right now. So again, kli shlishi, nikra ha-kli shlasocha huavar hatashel, Hamayim me'akli hasheni, whatever you pour the kli sheni from into, that final kli now is considered the kli shlishi. So just to think of it in our terms, let's consider the urn as, let's say, the easiest example. Urn is a kli rishon. First mug is a kli sheni. Second mug is a kli shlishi. It gets a little bit more challenging when you're dealing with something like soup. Because on the one hand, we might say pot is the kli rishon, bowl is the klisheni, you'd have to pour it into a second bowl in order to achieve a status of kli shlishi. Or it could be pot is kli rishon, ladle is kli sheni, and then the bowl, even that first bowl that you ladle into, that's already a kli shlishi, depending on what specific act of potential bishul we're dealing with, we're reckoning with. We may or may not consider that ladle to actually be its own kli sheni. Obvious difference, by the way. See, if you follow this whole, if you really follow this course, if you really follow the course that we've laid out here in this series, these halachas in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, why would a ladle not be considered to be a kli sheni? What's it lacking? I don't want to take this.
You didn't pour it.
Pour it. There's no iroi. So if there's no iroi, now that might just be a difference in terms of the tsura, in terms of the form of the malacha. It might also be a difference in terms of fundamentally whatever you plunge into the kli rishon becomes a kli rishon itself. If you put the ladle inside, you plunge it beneath the surface of the liquid in the kli rishon, that ladle is now a kli rishon. Maybe. On the other hand, it is an independent vessel. It was out and exposed to the air beyond the kli rishon, beyond the pot. Maybe it even retains that status after it plunges into the liquid inside the kli rishon. So it depends on what we're talking about, but we'll keep coming back to the case of the urn. We'll also talk about other cases, obviously, as well. But just as a standard, urn is kli rishon, mug one is kli sheni, mug two is kli shlishi. With a pot of soup, it gets a little bit more dicey simply because of the ladle. What do we consider the ladle? And therefore, what do we consider every kli subsequent to that ladle? Kamochen yesh lahavdil, we're in Gimel. Similarly, we should differentiate ka'amor bein tavshilim shonim, also between different types of foods. So far, we've only been addressing kalim and the various orbits as we move further and further away from the esh. What about foods themselves? Major distinctions. Aleph. You have a davar lach, nazil, you have something liquid, shadayim lo nisbashal kol tzorcho, that let's say has not yet been cooked, water that hasn't actually been heated up yet, soup that hasn't been heated up yet. That is one type of food that we might deal with respect to hilchos bishul. Number two, beis, davar lach hamavushal kol tzorcho, vadayin hu nishar cham b'miktas. Let's say you have something that was completely cooked, and now it might not be so hot presently, but it's still warm-ish. Meaning to say that, yes, there's a difference between, we speak about Yad Soledes as being seemingly that absolute benchmark, that line in the sand. But the reality is that there's a difference between a cup of water that was never heated to Yad Soledes and a cup of water that was heated past Yad Soledes and now actually droops back down beneath that benchmark, beneath that threshold of Yad Soledes, but is still warm-ish. So it's no longer beyond 113 degrees. So you would think that it couldn't really cook anymore. Maybe it reverts just back to its original status, but maybe it's at like 80 degrees. You'd still drink it. You'd still drink it as a cup of tea. It's not piping hot, but you'd still have it. That becomes a separate classification. Gimel, davar lacham avushal kol tzarcho, something that has been heated up completely, soup that's been completely heated up, hot water that's been completely heated up. Now you made a cup of tea, but when it's tan and lagamri, now it's completely, completely cooled down. Important distinction to be made there between completely cooled down versus somewhat cooled down. It's no longer Yad Soledes bo, but it still hasn't completely cooled off. Dalid, davar yavish, what about something dry, ma'achal mutzak, benigud l'davar lach, not something wet, but something not a liquid, but a solid. Shadayin lo nisbashal kol tzarcho, as we mean by dry, is really that it's solid. It hasn't been completely cooked. Piece of meat that is not completely cooked. Davar yavish, hey, then you finally have something that is dry, meaning something that's solid, and it's muvashal kol tzarcho, it's completely cooked through and through. Here there's no distinction. Here this is one and the same. With respect to the actual malacha of bishul, something dry that was cooked, you go from a raw piece of chicken to a cooked piece of chicken, makes no difference if it's hot or if it's cold. Whether it's hot or cold, it is considered to be cooked. This is the principle of Ein bishul achar bishul bi yavesh, that there is no such thing as secondary bishul, as cooking all over again, double jeopardy bishul, when it comes to a davar yavesh, when it comes to solid food. What's the difference between solid and liquid? What's the obvious svara? A hot liquid is only considered cooked, or it's only considered changed, I should say, insofar as it is now hot. What's the difference with most liquids? It's true. Some liquids actually congeal when they revert back to, let's say, room temperature, certainly when they get even cooler than that. But for the most part, what is the real difference? What's the real difference between, let's say, what's the difference between iced tea and hot tea? Heat, temperature. What's the difference between cold water and hot water? Just heat. So if we consider that water to have been cooked because heat has been added, even though there's no real substantive fundamental change in the actual makeup and the actual composition of that cup of water, so then when it reverts back to being cold, you've effectively undone the entire change that was achieved through the heat in the first place, which absolutely cannot be said if we're talking about a piece of meat or a piece of chicken or a vegetable. A piece of meat or a vegetable that has been cooked has fundamentally changed to the degree that you can never bring it back to zero. You can never hit restart, which is not the case when it comes to liquid. So that is the basic svara behind this distinction, why it is that when it comes to a davar lach, it can revert. When it comes to a davar yavesh, it can't revert. That's not to say that once you've cooked a piece of chicken, we all know this, once you cook a piece of chicken, therefore, you can do whatever you want with it on Shabbos. You can leave it wherever you want, you can heat it up however you want. That's not the case, but that's not the case for other considerations. Strictly speaking, if you have heated a piece of chicken, if you've cooked a piece of chicken, there is no way for you to any further violate the actual malacha, certainly not malacha de oraisa of bishul for that piece of chicken. The same cannot be said when it comes to necessarily. Same cannot necessarily be said when it comes to water, soup, or other kinds of liquids. Okay, let's keep going. Halacha dalet here. Hamusug esh kolel zu shebipsilis shebiptilit neft. This refers to, let's say, like an oil lamp. When we speak about esh, we could be talking about like actual wick and oil, real old school, an actual flame, actual fire. Bikirayim shelgaz, we could be talking about a gas stove. Now, this is a little controversial here. Biplatat chashmal, we could be talking about an electric plata, an electric hot plate. Question is if the platas that we buy as like a Shabbos warming plate, is that necessarily the same? Does that fall under the same category, at least with respect to certain things? When it comes to bishul, we're going to assume that, yes, it's the same. So meaning to say, whatever it is that, well, and again, we'll get to this, but whatever you're already in the habit of doing with respect to rewarming on a plata, and it's important to review these halachas every now and again. But that aside, the question of rewarming aside, the question of taking a cooked piece of chicken that's absolutely already cooked and somehow or another finding a way to, let's say, put it on a blech, on top of the crock pot, on top of the urn, on top of the hot plate, all that aside, if you crack an egg on top of the electric Shabbos hot plate and it cooks, and it absolutely could and absolutely would, that is certainly an act of bishul. So with respect to initially cooking food, makes no difference what sort of appliance we're talking about. If you're using heat, if you're using an electrically heated coil or an electrically, yeah, heated coil, I guess, that runs inside of that hot plate. In all these instances, we're dealing with real esh with respect to the halacha of bishul, the malacha of bishul. B'mitkan bishul b'kitor, if you're using some kind of like smoking apparatus, v'chadome. Bein hevdel, there's no difference, b'derech klal, generally speaking, bein esh mechuseh le'esh she'eno mechuseh. Makes no difference whether the flame is covered or uncovered. El imkein, ne'amar b'feirush acheres. Unless it's explicitly stated elsewhere. But generally speaking, when we talk about fire, makes no difference if it's covered, uncovered, you see the flame, you don't see the flame. If you cook on Shabbos, it is malacha. It doesn't matter what you use. That's bishul. That is an iser d'oraisa on Shabbos. Okay. Now, there are obviously, again, just to reiterate, there are going to be very, very important distinctions between how we go about reheating foods, where some of those same appliances that we just mentioned in that list, that there will be important differences between them. Right now, with respect to the actual malacha of Bishol, that's not the case. They're all one and the same. Okay, let's get into the actual malacha now. Klali Dina Bishol. Questions at this point? Everyone good? You'll let me know. You'll stop me. Okay. So Klali Dina Bishol. So let's keep going. Hey, Ha'isr Shel Bishol. So here we're getting to, into the actual, the parameters of the actual malacha itself. Ha'isr Shel Bishol B'davar Lach. The prohibition of cooking with a wet item, meaning to say a liquid. Hu afilu eno mechamamo. It's even if he just heats it. Ela lachum shel yad soledispo. Even if, again, he only heats it. If you only heat it up to a point of yad soledispo, that's still considered to be bishel. And them's fighting words. Again, that's not very hot at all. You're talking about only heating something up to a point of, let's say, 113, 115, 120 degrees. Not very hot at all. That already violates the act of bishel on Shabbos. When it comes to something yavesh, ha'isr shel bishul hu kishemivashlo lichdei hashiur shel ma'achal ben drusai. How far do you have to cook something dry? How far do you have to cook a salad to the point of ma'achal ben drusai? What's ma'achal ben drusai? Term that we may well be familiar with already. Ma'achal ben drusai is the food that was eaten by ben drusai. Ben drusai was apparently some, you know, it's like every post office. In the time of Chazal, all had like the wanted poster. There was always, in every single one, there was a wanted poster of Ben Drusai. He was this celebrity, I suppose, of a thief, of a ganef, of a poacher, and he lived out in the woods. And he always slipped right through the fingers of the authorities, and the sheriff could never quite catch him. So that's Ben Drusai. Why do we bring him into the conversation about Bishol? Because since he was on the lam. Since he was always on the run, he never had time to fully cook his food. Kind of like a fugitive, depressing, sad, criminal kind of version of Kibbuchi Pazon, like we just read about, that Klal Yisrael was in a hurry, so he didn't have time to really bake proper rations and bake proper bread, so we end up with matzah. So similarly, Ben Drusai didn't have time. How far along in the cooking process is this? It's a machlokas. It's either a half or a third. Either a half or a third. With respect to cooking lechatchila, we'll assume that it's at a third. So that if it's at a, this might be pertinent lakula with respect to other halachos dealing with Shabbos that we'll get to. But for our purposes, we need to assume that if you've cooked something even one third of the way, that you have violated the act of bishul. Dahinu shlish bishul hamachal, which is one third of the full cooking time. But umnam, however, now here is an important issue when it comes to dry foods. Gam im mosif levashal al ha'amur. Even if you cook it further, Kayim od iser bishul ad lichde shiur shel mevushul kol tzarcho. If I take something that's cooked a third of the way and then I continue cooking it, I take that and I put it back on the stove to completely and fully cook it so that Ben Drusai couldn't make it tonight, but the rest of us want to have just regular food, regularly fully cooked food, you throw it back on the flame, then you become chayav for an additional act of cooking, even though it already was a third of the way done. So this basically means is that if you cook raw food only, let's say, a quarter of the way or a fifth of the way, you might not be chayav. You cook it a third of the way, you are chayav. You take something that's already cooked a third of the way and you continue to cook it, then you're also going to be chayav all over again for a second act of bishul on that same food. Kaim odis or bishul ad l'chdei shir shal mevushul kol tzarcha uchvi shivur lahalan, as we will get to. Vav. So that is absolute bare minimum that you need to cook in order to become chayev. Vav, kol davar sheino mevushal kol tzarcho, anything that's not fully cooked, bein lach, bein yavesh, whether it's liquid or solid, v'afilu hu cham, even if it's hot, even if it's warm, yesh b'hachnasaso b'chli rishon, Gam im einenu omed al gabei ha'esh. It is the reality that if you put this food, this uncooked food, not fully cooked food, into a kli rishon, even though that kli rishon is not presently on a fire, It's off the fire, removed from the fire. Nevertheless, there still is the reality of Mishum Isser Bishel, that that is a violation of Bishel. V'mikrim v'furatim lahalan sifnun gimel, chal iser zeh gam b'hachnasaso l'chli sheni. May well be that this might also potentially anyway be the case, even if you put it into a kli sheni. So this is why it became very important to outline what are we talking about, kli rishon, kli sheni, kli shlishi, iri of kli rishon, iri of kli sheni. Just because you're not putting something on a fire by no means steers you completely, clearly away from the act of Bishel. If you take something and put it and cook it inside of a kli rishon, even though that kli rishon is no longer al ha'esh, that's still problematic. That's still an act of cooking. So if you take the crock pot off the fire, if you take the chalent off of the fire, it's no longer sitting inside of the insert. It's no longer agave ha'esh. That doesn't mean that it's now just a free-for-all and you can put whatever you like into the chalent. The chalent got dried out. You want to add some moisture, add some liquid, stock would probably be a bad example, but add some water. Want to add some water? I can't add water because if I add water and it's sitting on the fire, it's sitting on the heat, I'm going to be cooking that water. So fine. So you take it off the heat and pour in a glass of water. That is still Bishel because it's a kli rishon, despite the fact that it's no longer on the fire. Potentially, not so with water, but at least theoretically for certain things, even if you put them into a kli sheni, that could still be an act of cooking. Zayin. Dover lach. Let's say you have a liquid that has been completely cooked, and it hasn't completely cooled down. So it's no longer hot. It's no longer beyond Yad Soledes. It's cooled down 90 degrees. Yeah, 90 degrees is, I'm not sure what a typical cup of tea usually is. 90 degrees seems pretty weak. Okay, but you know, it's like that's when you're like enjoying dessert and you also have a cup of tea, and like by the time you're, you know, halfway done with the cake, so then the tea isn't as hot as it was. But what do? We don't throw it out. I mean, you still drink it. You drink it as, you know, it's still lukewarm, not even lukewarm. It's still passable as a cup of tea. So it hasn't completely cooled down. Ein bo mishum iser bishel. That can no longer be cooked. We wouldn't say that if you bring that back up to temperature, that now is an act of cooking all over again. So there is a certain inconsistency there with respect to, if you start off with liquid that was always 80 degrees and never went past the threshold of, let's say, the 113 or 120 or whatever, heated up to 120, that's an act of Bishel. In addition, when you have a cup of hot water that was at 120 degrees and now it gets completely cold, now it goes down to, you know, 20 degrees, wouldn't be 20 degrees, that'd be ice, now it goes down to 40 degrees and now you heat it up again, that is an act of Bishel. So what is the difference? Why is it that when it goes down to, let's say, 80 degrees, it's still within the parsha, still within the purview of tea? Bear in mind, again, going back to the distinction between solid foods and liquid foods, what is the great difference? The difference is that when you add heat, when you supply heat to solid food, you're fundamentally changing it in such a way that it can never revert back to its original status. The problem with liquid is that it can revert to its original status. But so long as there is still a remnant, so long as the impact of the heat is still detectable within that cup of tea, so we would still say that it is a cup of tea. This was a cup of tea that has already been cooked, and therefore it's simply a matter of applying ein bishel achar bishel. Just want to point that there are two different qualifications that we have. Something was always 80 degrees and you heat it up to 120, that's bishel. Something was 120 degrees and then sort of slipped back down to 80 degrees, then that would still be within the purview of, no, this is something that's already been cooked, and therefore, ein bishel achar bishel for that cup. Afilu im ein hayad soledes, but even though it's no longer yad soledes, passable as, let's say, a warm drink, So that would still, that would not be subject to Bishul. Aval afalpi chein osur la'aroso l'kli ha'omed al gabei ha'esh. Still, you can't pour it back into something that is sitting on the stove. This is problematic for other reasons. It might not be an act of Bishul, but it would be an act of hachzara, of returning food to the fire. That is problematic in of itself. Ches, davar lach hamavushal kol tzarcho. Something liquid that was completely cooked. Now it's completely cooled off. Oh, afilu nischamim ktsas b'Shabbos, or even if it was heated slightly on Shabbos, but ofen hamutter, in a manner that would be mutter, heating it up in a way that would be mutter. Let's say leaving it, you know, next to the blech in a place where it's never going to reach the full yad soledes temperature. Achashin it's tanein. Now that it's cooled off, kodem lachain, prior to that lagamre, before it became completely cooled off, shayach bo iser bishul kishayach nisu lichli rishon. So you would still potentially violate bishul when you return that liquid to a kli rishon, gam kazesh sheino omin al gabei ha'esh, even if that kli rishon is not al ha'esh. Similarly, if you poured from a kli rishon onto it, again, even if what you're pouring from is not presently still sitting on the fire. So if you have something that is even slightly warm, it's, you know, it's tepid and it was heated up somehow or another, but never crossed the threshold of Yad Soledes, and now you bring it up to Yad Soledes inside of a kli rishon, that's problematic. That would absolutely be an act of Bishul. Aval hachnis, let's keep going. Aval hachnis, davar lach ze b'chlisheni. But to put that liquid into a klisheni, o le'aros alav miklisheni, or to pour from a klisheni onto it, ein bozeh mishum iser Bishul. That is not a problem of Bishul. So putting it into a klirishon problem, putting it into a klisheni in that instance would not be an issue. So on that issue of things that have been mavushal kol tzarcho but then cooled down, so that becomes a really, really important halacha. Whereas I couldn't take completely raw liquid and put them into a kli sheni, I could take something that was mavushal kol tzarcho and then pour that into a kli sheni. The reason why this is important is that there are liquids that we might not necessarily think about as really being like cooked foods, but are nevertheless actually cooked foods, or rather cooked liquids. We don't think of them as being cooked liquids. It's raw. I've never cooked it before, and therefore it's not cooked, but actually are actually cooked liquids. Most important example, and probably most frequently arising example, is milk. Milk is a cooked liquid. When milk is pasteurized, it's heated up to something like 160 degrees. That is well beyond Yad Soledes. And therefore, milk, even though we've never cooked it before in our own homes, milk is absolutely considered to be mavushal kol tzarcho already. So now, it was mavushal kol tzarcho, but then it's tanin lagamre, then completely cooled off, completely cooled down. So could you pour milk into a kli rishon? Absolutely not. Could you pour from a kli rishon onto milk? Here's really the kicker. Could you pour from a kli rishon onto the milk? No, absolutely not. Could you pour milk into a kli sheni? Absolutely. So this is really important for a morning cup of coffee or an afternoon cup of coffee, as the case may be, if you had fleishigs or soy milk. I don't know, but I think soy milk is cooked also. I believe soy milk is cooked also. I assume that most of these kinds of things are, that when they're, that they need to be pasteurized in order to make them, especially if they're going to be shelf stable. It's probably easy enough as a Google search. But any of those sorts of things that have been cooked as part of the manufacturing, bottling, packaging process. So if they're cooked, they're cooked. That means that you could pour them into a kli sheni. How do you make a cup of coffee? Shabbos morning goes from the urn into that first mug. That first mug is only kli sheni. That's fine. That's all you need. As long as it's a kli sheni, you can put any liquid that has already been cooked into that kli sheni. Right? The notion of being so careful with even something that we know actually has been cooked before. It's true that it's reverted back to zero on some level, but that's not true for every subsequent kli. The further you move away from the actual esh, the further you move away from the actual fire, the easier it is for us to say that this doesn't really resemble a true act of bishul, the kind of malacha that was actually being done in the Mishkan. So if you have something that was cooked previously and then cools down, even liquid milk can go directly into the kli sheni. You don't need a kli shlishi when you make coffee on Shabbos, at least if you're pouring milk into it. Another example, I don't know that this comes up quite as much in terms of wanting it warm or hot or whatever, but just to be aware, same would be true of, let's say, mavushal wine. Mavushal wine is taken up to an even higher temperature. It's brought up to like 180 degrees, something like that, 175, 180 degrees. Also, it is already mavushal kol tzarcho. Obviously, it then does cool back down. We would say yesh bishal achar bishal balach, but only with respect to either kli rishon or irui, pouring form of kli rishon directly onto it. But once you have the actual kli sheni, I don't know, you want to spike your tea or your coffee with some red wine, by all means, it would be, it's a mitzvah to do so. Tess, yesh efel havdil bein davar lach retuach lebein davar lach haroteach. There's a difference between a davar lach that was boiled, liquid that was boiled, and liquid that is presently boiling. Shekein davar lach shu retuach v'nitan legamrei. If something had been boiled and then cooled down completely, shayach bo iser bishul b'kli rishon. And again, you pour that into a kli rishon like milk. Pour that into a kli rishon, that's a big problem. V'ilu davar lach roteach. But if it is presently boiling, oh, davar lach retuach shalon itztan legamrei mibishulo, or if you have a liquid that had been boiled and now cooled down but didn't completely cool down, ein bo mishum iser bishul gam bichli rishon, that is something that bishul does not apply to. It is not subject to bishul even in a kli rishon, im einenu omed al gabe ha'esh, as long as that kli rishon is not presently on the fire. You can never pour anything really back into, or you can never pour anything into or place anything into a pot of food that's on the fire. That's problematic for other reasons. But strictly speaking, with regards to bishul, with respect to bishul, there's no problem of bishul if something is either still hot, still past the point of yatzalaitis, or even if it's cooled back down but hasn't completely cooled off, still no problem of bishul at that point. Next halachas are going to start dealing with yavesh. If there's one critical takeaway from this shiur, it is hopefully, if you were using too many kalim before when you were making a cup of coffee on Shabbos, hopefully now you can scale that back a little bit and milk directly into a kli sheni. Very, very important takeaway. And other things, try to brainstorm a little bit. And again, it's easy enough. We could all do the same Google search. I believe that that's the case with anything, any packaged liquid. I assume that's the case with juice, and that's the case, orange juice and apple juice, soy milk, almond milk, oat milk. I assume that that's all the same, but we can all take a look. Even, by the way, one important difference, I'm not sure about this actually, an important difference might be, let's say, cold brew coffee. I don't know why you'd want to heat up cold brew coffee, but let's say things that specifically were kept cold and were never heated, obviously you'd have to be very, very careful. But otherwise, if you know that they were heated previously, like milk, you could certainly put it into a kli sheni. All right.
Can I ask a question, Rabbi Bienenfeld?
Yeah, please.
So regarding milk and coffee, so I had previously been, I like the milk a little warmed up in my coffee because I don't like that it cools down the coffee so much. So I had been pouring milk into a cup and then placing that into a kli shlishi of hot water.
Yeah,
and like submerging it in to like make the milk a little bit warmer. So are you saying that it didn't need to be even in a kli shlishi? A kli sheni is okay?
You could put the milk into a kli sheni, sure.
Okay.
You could even, if it's inside of another, we'll get to this, but the truth is that if it's inside of another cup, you could actually pour directly from the Kli Rishon. You could even put in that cup of milk first and then pour in the hot water around it. Because
it makes more sense to pour the hot water first, though. But yeah.
Okay, well, whatever. But you have options now. Great. Okay, question on the chat. Can one add hot water in a Kli Sheni into the Chalan pot to add liquid if everything is already from a Kli Sheni? From a Kli Sheni, meaning if it's still hot. If it's still hot, Natalie, is that what you're asking? I just want to make sure we're...
Yeah.
So meaning yes. Everything is still hot. So you pour, let's say, from a... And then pour it, what, into the Chalan pot while it's still on the fire?
I mean, you wouldn't be able to pour it directly, right? I'm just trying to think, how would one add liquid? Like you said, it, you know, let's say the Chalan pot needed some more liquid. How would one add liquid?
So we'll talk about it. Ideally, you would go direct. Ideally, you would go direct. You could go direct and you just take the Chalan pot off. You have kavana that you're going to put it back on. You have kavana lahachzir. You have kavana to put it back into the liner. You put it right under the urn and you can transfer from one Kli Rishon to another Kli Rishon.
Oh, so you're saying better to do that than to do it. That's preferred over a Kli Sheni.
Yes. Would it make a difference?
Because then you're heating up the water a little bit.
You could do that also. You could do it into like a measuring cup or a mug or something like that and put it in. Meaning if it's still hot and your kavana is to put it back onto the stove, then you could still do that as well.
So then is there a difference if you're like, do you even need to take it off of the...
The crock pot?
Yeah.
You do because you don't want to, you putting something into, going from a Kli Sheni into a Kli Rishon that's on the fire is problematic. But if you had kavana, meaning if it's off the fire, it's because of other things. But and because potentially it could be even hagasa, and we don't stir while it's al ha'esh. But otherwise you could. Now when you meaning so you should take it out of that liner. You should take the crock out. You could then pour the hot water into it, and then you could then put it back. You want to make sure that throughout that process, and this is, I think, what Moria is talking about also, you want to make sure that you're still holding on to the crock pot, that you have kavana to put the crock pot back on, and that you also have kavana to put the hot water back onto the fire as well. So you never want to like let go. That's why it's a little bit more straightforward. It's just a little bit simpler to do it directly, maybe. But strictly speaking, if you're still holding everything, and throughout this entire process you have kavana that the water is going to go back onto the fire, the crock pot's going to go back onto the fire. You never let go of anything in between. That's all fine.
Mm-hmm. But you and do. Doesn't it matter if there's
the fire. Crock pot should come off the fire while you're doing it.
And does it matter if there's like, is there a difference if there's like an aluminum, like in between the crock and the, like in the heating element? Does that make a difference?
Shouldn't.
Whether or not it's there?
Shouldn't.
And what's the purpose of the aluminum?
As a heker, that's really for shahia. It's also for achzara, so that it's clear that you're not returning it back directly onto an uncovered fire. And now uncovered fire in the case of the crock pot is just an uncovered, whatever the heating element usually is. But also even from before Shabbos, we'll get into this when we get into Shehiya, having it lined with aluminum foil so that it's clear that you're not leaving even a pot of food on an open flame from before Shabbos. That's the other reason why you have it. That's another problem.
Okay.
We'll get to all this. Okay. We'll start like snapping together. This is all a little bit like piecemeal. This is always the challenge when we do, when we first start a section and all the practical questions that actually pertain to some of the things we've already done, we have, you know, bits and pieces of information to actually make sense of it all. We'll get a little bit more closure as we expand our horizons here a little bit. So hopefully this will all start making more and more sense in coming shiurim. If not, then let me know that I'm not doing my job. But I really think we'll get more clarity. I'm sorry that things are, at least at this point, there are still a bunch of balls that are up in the air.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we'll get there, everyone. Okay, Yashar Koach, thanks everyone for making the time. Thanks for coming on, and Mirtz Hashem, see you next week.
Thank you, good night.
Thank you, good night.